Hello and welcome to Extra Activities. This is episode 2, or episode 1 to be technical, of our show. I am your host, Nathan Morales. And today I thought maybe we could just do some interesting movies of the 2010s that I've been thinking about recently. And really, I've realized that a lot of the 2010 movies are very, very, very underrated, and I'd love to shine some more light onto them. So this will be categorized into a few parts, one being probably the Marvel movies, one being the amazingness that is just Disney, and the third will be miscellaneous, I guess. I'm not certain on them, but I do have a list of all the movies that I will be reviewing and that I will be talking about, and I will try to get as many as I can. I'm not going to get every single one of them, but I think that I can nail a bit and enough to make my point stand. I'm going to start off with Marvel movies first, just to get it out of the way. It did not start in our genre, but superhero movies have been ramping up very, very recently, especially with the new Endgame that came out this past few months and has taken the world by storm recently. I think that it shows that we have the potential to make good Marvel movies, and especially with the last year's Spider-Verse movie, which I just went to watch again. I thought that that movie was perfect, and to every single little detail, you can tell that the developers of the movie had been caring for that one for a long time. And fair to say that that one is probably one of the best tellings of Spider-Man to this day, in my opinion. Not everybody has that opinion, but I love the comic book style that they do, and they do it pretty perfectly. So, we're gonna start off with the first one that I can think of that came out this year, these years for me at least, that I went to watch. Was all of these are going to be what I watched, so if your favorite movie hasn't shown or isn't said, sorry. I'm just going off the top of my head with a list as well of movies that I've seen and how this works. Alright. So, with the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, it comes to the point where you have the great and you can get some points of bad. And personally, I did not like any of the original two Thors, the original Captain Americas, and I kind of liked the second Iron Man, but the third Iron Man was far better than the second. But a lot of them have been amazing and changed a huge amount of people's lives, and I have to talk about them. So, Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor, and Hulk, those were all in 2009 to 2010. In 2011, I'm pretty sure it's either 2011 or 2012, where the movie Avengers came out, the first one, and everybody loved that one because it genuinely touched people's hearts on how a tag team of cinematic universe characters can fight. Because we've had situations of X-Men, and we've had situations of Fantastic Four, but we've never had a solid five characters going at it in each of the movies, to this day at least, And every single movie has had them, except for one exclusion, which was Hawkeye in Infinity War. But he was under house arrest at that time, so he couldn't even get out of his house. But with the inclusions of the new Spider-Man, Tom Holland, which personally, one of my favorites, I think he's number two. I wouldn't say he's number one, just because I like his character arc, but I haven't seen Far From Home yet, so I will have to hold on that thought. So, watching from Avengers to Avengers Age of Ultron, those two are very solid movies. I have only seen Ultron once, but I remember it as a pretty solid movie. I wouldn't say that it's my favorite out of all of the Avengers and, like, everybody tag-teaming in those movies. But the two that stand out to me as far as, like, tag-team, like, two or more characters coming into the movies would have to probably be, actually three, would be Captain America Civil War, just because that one shined more light on how dangerous, and kind of like Incredibles when it came out, how it was consequences, superheroes have to figure out consequences, and with that, I think that it's very important to shed some light on that, because not a lot of stories have that in this day and age. But another one, actually I'd say four, but I'll get to that. Another one would be Thor Ragnarok, where the Hulk and Thor meet each other on the planet. I'm not certain on what it is, but they meet each other. And they try to stop Thor's sister from destroying the entire universe. Also, I know that that's pretty late, but before I get into newer movies, I will say spoilers ahead for this. But I'll probably put that in the title of this podcast. And I don't know, I think that the movie sheds more light on siblings and how you should react with them, because with siblings, you can have a huge amount of people, but you can't really get away from the fact of it's modern worlds. It's our world, but with superheroes, and we should just be wary about that, and how, yes, it's awesome to have superheroes, there's always going to be a bad guy out there, just like Helen, how superheroes also cause stuff. And I don't want to talk like J. Jonah Jameson at this point, but the next point, segues, are, Spider-Man Homecoming. Spider-Man Homecoming, I think that that was one of my favorites. It was on top three, I think, of my MCU list before a few other movies. Iron Man completely passes it because it's Iron Man. But rechanging my list, I had to change a lot about it, and it got lower. I think it's now at like 6th or 5th. But with that movie, I think that it's a good movie. It's one of those movies where you gotta realize that, I don't know, it's kind of like one of those movies where you have to realize the bad guy has a point to his plot. And I love the Vulture in that movie. I thought that he did an amazing job for it. And that he deserves to be a one of my top tier Spider-Man villains for that reason and for that movie. Because I didn't even hear about the Vulture. I'm not a comic reader. I didn't read a lot of Spider-Man comics, at least, when that movie came out. But I started to read some more and realized that he has a point to... A lot of the Spider-Man characters have a point, but the Vulture has points of, in this movie at least, that in the 2012 or whenever the MCU Avengers movie date was, whenever that happened, it was a game changer for the entire world because the workers had to get laid off because of the Avengers taking over and Tony Stark getting that tech for technology. And I think that that has a huge mark on them because they're workers and they lose their jobs for it. They don't get paid for getting nothing. And it's just one of those points where it's like the Vulture had a major character arc for it. And I respect Marvel for doing that. I think that Green Goblin is overplayed at this point with the point of he's his best friend, but in the cinematic universe that Marvel's in, I don't think we're gonna see a Green Goblin very, very soon. Just because of the point of he's a good character and a good character to the story, but with the story, he's too inevitable to see his plot. Because everybody knows his plot at this point. I didn't know Vulture's plot, and that's saying something, because with the Spider-Man game coming out, and with Spider-Verse and all these other new movies, you get to see all these new villains and characters that you never saw in anything else because you didn't read the comics like I did, or I didn't. And you feel for the characters of how they work and how it should be reenacted and how we should just feel about these cinematic movies. Like, I love how Mysterio's coming back in the new one. And Mysterio has always been one of my favorites of the MCU. Spider-Man villains. But he's not overplayed like Venom or Sandman or Green Goblin. Where, like, I'd love to see a movie with Rhino or Scorpion or even Doc Ock. Doc Ock's one of those characters that I really want to see Tom Holland facing just because it'd be interesting to see who the villain or who Doc Ock is in that universe, because with the Spider-Verse movie, it was a girl for Doc Ock, and that seemed very interesting to me, and I wonder how they can pull that off, because I didn't even know Zendaya in that movie was MJ till the second time watching it, and I was like, oh, that makes sense, but it's kind of like a loose thing. But they add more now because she's a huge character in the story, and I think that she has a huge potential for it. But with a lot of these, you just have to think about how all this works and how it flows. Alright. I'll talk about two other superhero movies, and then I'll get to more stuff. Deadpool 1 and 2, I think, is one of the most impactful stories of my life and of my movie-watching experience. I think it's an amazing film, and it shows a lot of story arc and shows an amazing cast of characters. I love Ryan Reynolds. He's now one of my favorites, up there with Chris Pratt and all those others. But with a lot of these movies, they all have an amazing score, but I'd have to say Deadpool, and probably the next one that I'm going to talk about, which is, I'll talk about it here as well, but Guardians of the Galaxy and Deadpool both have the similarities that I love, which is the music and how it flows into the movies. Because I don't know if you saw this movie, because it was kind of like a hidden-ish film. It wasn't, like, hidden from everyone, but if you didn't see it, you didn't see it. And if you don't know about it, you don't know about it. But it's a movie called Baby Driver, where it's a kid with, I don't remember the medical term, but he has a hum in both of his ears, where he uses music to drown it out, and music flows the story. That's what Deadpool and Guardians do, where it flows the story, but it doesn't do it in a way where it ruins the story. It does it in a way where it brings it to an amazing point of how those movies work. And with a lot of people, music is life. And a lot of people say, what's the one thing that you can't live without? And a lot of people would say probably like money or something else like that. But for me, I'd have to say that music is the one thing you could not live without, just because it's a huge part of everyone's lives and you don't realize it. Like, to the sounding of a drum, to a guitar, all the way down to a bird singing. Like, you can get something out of everything and make music out of it. It's just my tidbit. Alright, I'm going a little bit too heavy. I think I should probably say one more thing about Marvel and superhero movies in general. And probably tell you one story that I actually don't like, which probably would have to be some of the, like, sequels. And yes, like, oh, I got a better one. I didn't even talk about this one. Spoilers ahead, skip till probably 25 minutes and I'll get done with this one. And I'll say 24 minutes. I'll stop before there. Alright, so with everything with Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, that changed the world, especially with, like, Thanos and how he snaps his finger, because with that snap, it was Russian roulette at the start. And the directors say when you add something, you have to stick with it. And I think that that is a huge moral in a lot of these things. With a lot of the movies, you have to commit if you say it. Like, if you speak of it, you have to commit. It was gonna happen eventually. And I think that, yes, Spider-Man is, like, very, very sad. Everybody is, like, death was very sad, and trust me, Gamora is my favorite MCU character, so seeing her falling off a cliff was devastating to me, and I was crying in theaters. That's actually a good point. These movies are one of the only ones that will make me cry, and, like, I love horror movies, it's just one of those dumb things that I like, but watching horror movies, it's fun. But it's funny to see the characters die and, like, see how, like, the killers can get away with it. And to see all the unique deaths and all that for those movies. But in this movie, with that snap, they all disintegrated, but they did it in such a peaceful way. Where they weren't in pain, they just gone. And yes, it had pain for everyone else, but one of the only questions that I'd love to ask to anyone of the directors or anything, or probably like Tony or Tom Holland or anyone else, if I ever got the chance to talk to them, the only thing that I would say is, what happens after you're gone? Like, what happens after you're turned into dust? Where do you go? And what happens in there? Because I feel like it's just nothing, and then you come back for that point where it happens. But I don't know. It's kind of in a sketchy point. So, with that, it shows a huge cinematic achievement that none of us would be able to have, and none of us would see if MCU movies never existed. If MCU movies never existed, we would not have any of that in any of the life that is Marvel Cinematic Universe. But on that caveat, I'm going to say a few other like spoilers just so the people that are coming back in 2 minutes know that I'll still be talking. With the whole like Spider-Verse movie, when like all these characters come in and come together, they come in together so meaningfully, and they come in and they don't do it in a way where it's obtrusive that there's 5 or 6 of the Spider-Men and women's, but they do it in a way where it's free form. And even with the character forms, with Peter B. Parker and Miles Morales and Gwen and Porky Potter, or I don't remember his name. That's not Porky Potter, that's Harry Potter. Harry Plopper, that's what I'm thinking of from Simpsons movie. But all those characters are different. Like, Kingpin is still as massive as ever, and that's the only problem that I have with that movie, is the whole plot of Kingpin, where he's like, I want my family back, and I don't care to do whatever it takes, I'll kill everyone till I get my family back. His family left because he was killing, or trying to kill Spider-Man. And with him killing, or with him killing Spider-Man, it still proves that he does not care, and he just wants his family back, and he's just being a selfish person, and how it works. But with these movies, some of the villains' plots are kind of there, and I see where they're going, but it's not executed in the best way. And we're almost at that time where I have to, or where we're calling them back from the spoilers. But with all that, it's just underwhelming to see all these characters coming back and being themselves, but in a different way. And I love that about these new movies, where a lot of these characters come back. And welcome back, everyone, to this part where you are just listening to me. So next, we're going to talk about some Disney films of the 2010s till now, and I have a lot to say. I don't know about 2 movies recently, because I haven't seen them, and I cannot say if they're good or not, because I'm not there yet. I haven't seen Aladdin live action, and I haven't seen Toy Story 4. I'm gonna go see that probably next week or something, I don't know. But with those movies, I hope that they're good. They have bad reviews, but I hope that they're good. Reviews don't mean how good they are. And with that, I don't know, I think it's in the point of talking about a few of them. So, I'm going to start off this with live-action movies, because that's what the 2010s started. I don't think every single live-action movie is terrible. Like, yeah, I saw the Dumbo one, it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. Like, it was bad in a few ways, but it wasn't classified as a horrible movie. Not by a long shot for me. Because, yes, I would love to see something else from Tim Burton from these previous years. And I would die to see anything else other than the Dumbo live action. But it's not the worst movie that I've ever seen. I've seen horrific movies in my life. And with that, I'm gonna say Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, Maleficent, of course. Those are all amazing movies. And I have to give them credit for restarting those stories for new kids that haven't seen them yet. And yes, I have to give them props for that, because I did see Beauty and the Beast in theaters, and that was one of the best experiences that I had with a live-action movie in a long time. And with that, I'd have to say that I'm excited for Lion King. I'm gonna go see it when it's out. And I don't know about Frozen 2. Thing about Frozen, I've only seen it once. I didn't like Hans as a character. It wasn't my favorite. But Rapunzel, Moana, and I think that's all the Disney princesses of this few years. Those are all great. Oh, and if you really want to say it, Princess Penelope. She's great. I won't say anything about the second one, because I just won't. I don't like references and all that in that movie. It was too emoji movie for me, personally. It wasn't bad. Like, it's kind of like one of my friends said, you can't compare it because it's like a cupcake to a steaming pile of garbage. You can't compare it. And I can't say anything about it. But with that, I will say a lot of the 2010 movies are very, very solid and on my list. But there's one movie in recent history that I can say I absolutely kind of hated. And that one movie is the second of Incredibles. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Incredibles 2 with its Jack-Jack and all that. Like, others, the main points that are great about the movie are great, but the villain, man. The villain is one of the worst villains I've ever seen in these movies, and it's probably, even to my saying, worse than Hans, because Hans at least goes with his plan and stays onto there. She makes a plan to take down the superheroes once and for all, but the superheroes are not available. They weren't called on before they made the signing day. And with that, you could have just gone on and just said, hey, I don't really, you could have made a very, very good villain if that. And I'm just saying, it's not one of my favorites. It's probably on the least ones. A lot of I've seen one YouTuber really talk about this movie as, like, awful. But with this movie, it's more or less... I don't like the plot of it because it was kind of boring to me. But I loved the artwork and scenery around it. Because if you've ever seen this movie, which is The Good Dinosaur, it's decent with the plot. I wouldn't say it's absolute garbage with the plot, but the plot is pretty bad to the point where it's kind of annoying at sometimes. But with the plot, or with the scenery, it is one of the best scenic movies of all time. It's kind of like WALL-E, where it's like, it's beautiful to look at. And it just amazes me how much it shines on everything. Like, it looks so realistic in sometimes. And a lot of these movies are looking more photorealistic for animation, for the backgrounds, but that one, it looks amazing for it. My next point will be probably just a few other things where it's like, oh, this is just this movie. I didn't finish a few of the Disney movies, I guess. I can't say anything wrong about Big Hero 6. I would have liked the fake-out villain to be better, though, with the principal or whatever as the bad guy. That's kind of dumb, and how that kind of worked. But with a lot of these, you kind of have to feel for the characters and you realize what their plot is. Incredibles 2 doesn't do that. That's why I don't like it as much. But with anything else, it's fine. Frozen, like I said, it's not my favorite. It's probably one of the worst ones. But I have to give it respect for changing the world by storm with its songs and everything. Because even though those songs are very bad, you still gotta give them so many props for keeping those songs still alive to this day and making it better and better by time passes. Because I don't think anyone would say any other movie is more impactful to them in 2010 than probably, like, the most impactful for the years. And for that year, it was probably the most impactful, but it's still holding strong today, even with its second movie coming out this year. And I have to give them props for that. But next, we're going to talk about some of those loose movies that I think should just be talked about, because I think that they have potential and they have story to them, but they're not worthy enough for their own category, because it's like, when they're added, they're not like their own type of movie, but they're respected between me. With a few extra movies, I will say there is a lot of movies that in the past few years that have won my heart, hands down. And everybody would probably rant about a lot of these movies as probably one of the worst movies, just personally. I actually liked the Halloween reboot, just because it was good to me. I liked it. But that's just me talking. With another one, I'm pretty sure this one is 2000. I might talk about some 2009 movies just because they impacted me a huge amount. But with Harry Potter, which I just recently finished,
I think that that has a huge impact to me, and nowadays, if I was able to watch it, because I wasn't able to watch and read the books when I was a kid, my family wouldn't allow me to. I liked it. I thought it was good enough for anything, and I get where all the hype came from it. And Deathly Hallows was by far probably one of the best movies to come out in 2010s. Just because it's kind of like Endgame, where it's cinematically amazing, and whenever there's like a photo moment in a movie, I will always say, hey, look, that's a pretty good photo. Or something, where I'll be watching the movie and it'll be a picture-perfect moment because it looks so great. Scenery, that would be great. I love scenery. I don't like humans and photos and buildings and all that in photos. Man-made things are not my favorite in photos. But with all these movies, I'm going to talk a few about 2009 movies, because they're still kind of relevant to me and they impacted my heart to its fullest. With 2009, there was two animated movies that I'd say impacted everything in my path of who I am today and what formed me into what I am. With the first movie, Coraline, it is scary, and it is, like, very, very, very dark. That has been my number one favorite movie for these 10 years, and I have loved the series. I have the audiobook, I have a doll for her, I have most of the pops. I don't have all of them, because I started collecting pops recently, and as you can imagine, Coraline pops are very hard to find now. But with these characters, you gotta love every single character in that movie. It was so... every single shot was taken to perfection. And even the shots that they didn't add and they put in their deleted scenes are still so amazing. Like, if you saw the deleted scenes of one of them, it had like a cobbler popping in the oven when he was singing his song to Coraline before she went into the another dimension. And it's similar to a lot of those stop motion movies, like Nightmare Before Christmas. And I'd like to add on that where Henry Selick directed the movie, and Tim Burton wasn't there. I'm pretty sure he and most of the crew said that he wasn't there, or he was there for about like 15 days, but he was not there the entire rest of the two-year animation process. And he was just the producer of that movie. He was not the director. And I feel like Henry Selick deserves more to that movie. He is also the man who created James and the Giant Peach, which is one of my favorites as well. Just because my dad's name James and I love it. But with this, I also have to go to our next kid movie, which did not feel like a kid movie when I was watching it recently, and that movie is Up, just because, oh my gosh, the first 10 minutes are, everybody says that it's the most dramatic 10 minutes of a Disney movie, and I have to agree with them. That is one of the most devastating stories that you can ever hear in the story, and to feel that and to feel a loss and to know people that have actually gone through that, it hurts so badly. and it makes you cry. Like, that's one of those movies that will make you cry. I will go on to one more segment before I end this, and then we're done, I guess. But with this last part, if you're not great about horror movies, just skip off. But I'm just going to be talking about a few of them. Like I said, the Halloween movie, it was good. I love the new Michael. He looks amazing and the mask looks great. I'd have to say that with this, there is a few movies that I have to at least say something about, which Stranger Things, I know that it's not a movie, but that one's very impactful just because it's a very good story, and it has amazing shots, and I love cinematography and photos and all that, and they give love to their story. I love those brothers that make the show. But another one would be It, which has a similar, like, timeline period where it's, like, older than us, but it's our generation of it, where it involves the, I think, 1980s, and it has the storytelling of the kids going through the whole Derry and Pennywise coming out as, like, an evil monster, and people that did not like the miniseries, which I can say I did not like the miniseries. If you've never seen it, don't watch it. It's not worth it, personally. But it is one of the best movies to ever appear on my screen in recent history, and I am so excited for It Chapter 2. Another one that I can at least say something about would probably be, like, what is it? I can say, Get Out would probably be one of the better ones, just because I love the whole, not because I love racism, but I love the whole, like, they're racist against a black man, and the cops are against him, and everybody's against him, and that ending would have been so much darker if it would have went with the regular ending that they were thinking of, which was if, you know, the cop car at the end of the movie trying to arrest him, and he thinks that he's gonna get arrested. Well, in the actual movie, like, the people talk about how he was gonna be arrested, and they were like, they need to give their hero a break, because that would be tragic if that happened. And with a lot of these movies, they're all very their cinematography is so amazing, and you have to give them props for every single shot that they do and every single little point that they have. So with that, I will probably be ending this podcast for the first episode of my podcast. And yes, I am Nathan Morales, and thank you for listening to me for the 43 minutes. Goodbye.